me here as a medical student, and I'm so excited. I'm like, I'm very, very, very happy that we are at this for the first time. Medical students with me. Hi. Hi. So my name is Tochi Ibe, and you're welcome to our podcast on Tochi Ibe Online and Tochi Ibe TV. So I'd like you to introduce yourselves. Please tell me your name.
Okay. My name is Blessing. My name is Chile Opara.
I'm Noel Osuji.
Okay, I'm Jesse Akobudi.
Okay, nice to meet all of you here. These are my friends. I mean, all in the same medical school, Imo State University Teaching Hospital, Olu, Imo State, Nigeria. So I have some questions I'd like to be asking them to get a glimpse of what they feel medical school is like, their medical school experience. The reason is because I myself, when I came to medical school, I didn't have such an opportunity to know what medical school was like from firsthand, from the people that are already there. So I feel this is going to help all those out there who are ready to come into medical school, give you a glimpse of what it's like and what to expect, what not to expect. Let us bust your bubbles and scatter your surprises, okay? So I'm going to be asking a few questions here, and they're going to be answering based on their own personal experience. So I'll be starting with the first question I have here, and also giving my own idea too, okay? So my first question is, what was your expectation for medical school? For me, my expectation for medical school was what I had, what I usually see on the internet, people going out in scrubs, on ward coats, seeing patients, walking on the roads, putting out the prestige, carrying stethoscope everywhere. And then I was saying that it's that kind of life. Somehow, even as you're still studying, you're still almost practicing the medicine that you want to study. But then I came to Imo State University Teaching Hospital, and I saw that I was in university. I was not in the kind of medical school that I ever staged that it was going to be. So I'd like to hear from you. What about you? What was your expectation for medical school?
Okay, my expectation. Anyway, when I was in secondary school, we used to hear that, okay, medical students, they don't, okay, especially females, they don't wear earrings, they don't make up, they don't do anything like that. So serious. Like, it's about the personality, the kind of protrude you get. So I was like, wow, that means for you to study well, you don't need to have these distractions and everything. But coming to medical school, I saw students, maybe they're making up, living their life without those single stories, without those things I already had about medical school and medical school. Amazing. So it was wonderful that you could have the life you want to live.
Ooh, and still I love to hear that.
Something. I can still be still read your books, still become a very, very good medical doctor. So why still being yourself exactly? That's you don't nice. Have to be an obsolete person for you to become a medical doctor.
That's nice. What about you, Chile? What was the expectation for medical school? Did this school beat it or dot?
Okay, my expectations were, I was expecting that it was going to be hard work anyways. Then I just had this picture of doctors being prestigious. I was just thinking about the hospital aspect. I didn't have a basic understanding of how it all starts, how you start doing it, and how you eventually get there. So when I got here, I saw the different stages. I wasn't expecting like that. I didn't even know. For some reason, I just felt that maybe when you come to medical school, the next thing you're in the hospital, you're seeing patients, you're making the money and all that. I didn't really know all these steps, the stages that were involved, and how it was going to unfold anyways. But to an extent, some of those things I expected, I still see it. Then some of them were defeated because at some point it became something totally different from what I expected. Because the environment, everything is just not what I expected. But I'm still hopeful that with time we're going to get there.
Of course, definitely. Okay, nice to hear from you, Chile. Noah, what do you have to say?
To be honest, I didn't have any real expectation of what I expected medical school to look like. You know, the reason is medicine was never really some sort of burning passion that I had while I was maybe in secondary school and all that kind of stuff. I sort of just made it up as I went along, and made my decision to study medicine at I think that was the last possible moment when I was filling my JAMB form.
Wow.
So, yeah, when I learned I had gotten admission, I was just excited for, you know, the fact that, yes, I was most likely going to become a doctor, you understand? It wasn't... When I started to think into the future, all I could really see was, in 6 years' time, well, that was the hope, that in 6 years' time, I would come out being a doctor. The time in between when I got admission and when I would graduate, I really could not see anything in there, you understand? So I'm really just living the experience now. I'm just taking it in as I go along. Yeah, it's been interesting. Let's just say it's been interesting.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that. It's quite interesting. Wow, this is getting really enlightening. Look at different views. So, Jeff, can you give us your own gist, man?
I'm going to come from this perspective. When I was coming to medical school, I was thinking about the kind of characters, human beings I was going to see as colleagues. So I was just thinking in my head that they were going to be just shoot guys, no social life.
Wow.
I mean, everybody's mean and reading their books and not, I don't know. Like when I came to medical school, I saw people that were comedians. I saw dancers. Well, there was one that was called IMSUT, medical student Michael Jackson.
I saw him too.
I saw MCs, different people. I was like, wow, is this medical school? Where am I? Like, I saw people from different backgrounds, different characters, funny people, mean people. And it was not just that thing I had in my head. Everybody's serious at every time. If I saw people that can pray, like every time they're praying, prayer warriors, pastors. In fact, the story is endless.
Endless, indeed. So thank you.
You could say respect to the persons that are in the department, students that are in the department. They are not really any different from what you would see. You know, in any other department, you understand? Yeah. It's really just normal people.
Of course.
It's the situation that shapes them. It's not, they don't come in already, you know.
Already made.
Yes. Shrewd and all serious and that kind of thing.
That's nice. I love that input. Thank you so much. So, moving on to the next question we have. So, you need to think very well in case you want to remember. I'm going to start first. What was your biggest shock when you got into medical school? What was your big, oh my God. I was just in class and then our counselor came to announce to us that from next week, we'll start going to cadaver room. And after cadaver, the cadaver I've been hearing about, like, it's not dead people. So yes, we're going to dissect dead people. Oh my God. I called my mom immediately. So I was so shocked. I was not expecting it. In fact, some other things that shocked me, apart from the 10 years that we are staying here, was that in fact, it was bigger than this. It was more shocking than the 10 years that we are going to be with dead bodies. And we are now, apart from the fact we are going to be with them, well, not dead bodies, sorry, cadaver. I don't know in case you are eating. So, and we are now going to dissect them in order to learn. So that was one of my biggest shocks I had when I came to medical school. So did you have any bigger shock when you came to medical school? You did not have any. Did you have any? Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, medical school is full of surprises. Like, at every stage, they are there to just give you that surprise, from the exams, from the lectures. Like, at every level and stage, they are there to give you the surprises. So, but I think I don't know if it's a shock, but it's a, yes, when I am. When we said our M1, S1 posting, yeah, the cadaver experience, but I was like, they are dead people, so they can't, like, yours there, they can't do anything. But having to see someone that, in M1, S1, I saw surgeries, like,
wow.
You see someone that is living, like, just like you, and then they just give person anesthesia and pull the person, and then they open up the person, and you're like, Jesus, like, okay, this is what is in me, too. So you're like, go, like, it's so, I don't know, it's the kind of feeling it gives me. So, like, that one even was a shocker. Amazing. And then you think that some people can die from it. So
okay.
It's something that is, so, like, it's a shocker to me.
Okay, Chile.
Okay, for me, the shocker for me was this. You know, coming from a kind of background, like in secondary school, it's always believed that people that, like, let's say people that are topping the class, if I can use that are those that are going to study medicine. Okay, you come from a background like, I mean, by background, I'm looking at secondary school setting, where you're a good student, you're topping your class and all that. Then you get to medical school, and they tell you, you just need 50 to pass. And you'd be like, what kind of insult is this? These people, they don't even know where I'm coming from and all that. You're just like, no, nah, 50, me, 50, what am I doing with 50? Then you come to medical school, it humbles you. Wow. To a point where you are like, let me just get this 50.
Oh my God.
To
oh
me,
my
this,
God.
This is shocker for me. This is shocker for me, honestly. I know that I have some experience, but this one is really the shocker for me.
Noel, let's
okay.
hear that.
Well, mine is almost a derivative of what Chile said, not in direct sense anyway. I think what has jarred me the most in medical school is the workload. Everyone is aware, it has become legend at this point that if you are getting to medical school, you are about to face an obscene amount of, you know, text and stress. But nothing actually really prepares you for it. You hear about it, you watch videos, you watch all these TV series about stuff like that, and you're like, oh wow, that's quite a lot. But seeing is believing, and honestly, it has been something else. Like, I've been constantly kept on my toes just by the thought of, you know, some text or something that I haven't covered and I have to cover, or I know I need to cover.
Okay, what shocked me in medical school is the reality that people could withdraw.
Wow.
Yes. And you see, especially people come to the school and you see some, we hear they failed row three, first year, they have withdrawn them. And you go to the next class, the second MBBS examination, and you're hearing things like 5 withdraw. And like, withdraw to where? it was at that point, I just knew God, because my parents didn't bring me here to be withdrawn.
Oh, you're bright.
Yes. And every person that came here was bright. You cannot be dull. Yes, you're an average student.
Yes, of course.
Yes, that is so. And I also saw, I also noticed that it's not about intelligence.
Yes.
It's about hard work.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Jesse. I'm so happy to hear your views and your opinions. So, moving on to the next question, I say, what strengths have you developed so far since you got into medical school? For me, I think I became more empathic. When I feel pity for people, I really feel it deep down, because I've been in the hospital, I've seen people that are real people that had accidents, real people that had crisis, and probably I saw them progress to get better, or probably I saw them deteriorate. So whenever I hear that something happened to somebody and I feel sorry about them, I say sorry. I'm really, really sorry from the depth of my heart, because I've seen what it's like. Not that I was heartless before, but then there's now more meaning to my feelings for people. So I don't know if you have any strengths you developed while in medical school.
Okay, for me, I developed thick skin.
Wow.
Like, after coming out from here, like, I don't think anything will shock me again. Like, because I didn't really talk about the cadaver stuff when people were talking about it. Like, seeing it first. Like, even if I see dead bodies, enter the mortuary, see dead bodies, and all those things, and the whole workload and the whole stress, and you come out passing your exam, it's really tiring. And I don't think, in fact, the work of a doctor, when a doctor sees an accident scene, is not to panic. And if you panic, then who is going to treat the patient? So I think that thick skin is very, very important in our career.
Well, that's good. Did you have anything to add to that?
Okay. Medicine shaped me. Like, it really shaped me. Like, many people don't know that I'm a very lazy person.
Wow.
Like,
oh, exposure.
No. I'm very lazy. Like, if you tell me to do something, I'll say, okay, I will just forget it. I will leave it. And then just, like, I can procrastinate for Africa. Like, okay, I can remember in secondary school, they give us assignments. I don't do the assignments in that morning. Like, I just have someone I copy from in the following morning. And I just scaled through in secondary school. But medicine, I had to plan myself. I had to, like, medicine taught me that if you don't do this, like, you are done for. So, like, it made me kind of, like, have to plan myself and not be lazy. I know I still have some traits, so, but it has to do with other things, like, other aspects of my life. I can just be like, this is just wait a bit later. But now, but I think when it comes to medicine, I think I learned to prioritize some certain things.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really amazing. Right, Chile, you have something to add?
Okay. What I want to point out as my strengths that I've gained throughout this journey, I just want to put them under three things: perseverance, consistency, and determination. Because when you get here, if you're not determined, when you see all the things that the things that are hitting you from here, from left, right, center, things that you were not expecting, you just have to be determined to make to reach that end point. So that determination is key. Then the aspect of consistency. Most times, because of the workload, you just find out that you have to be consistently doing some things. Like, in order to meet up, you have to be consistent. If you're reading, you have to be consistent, and you have to do it until you get there. So if you just do it and today you're doing it, tomorrow you're not doing it, you'll not get there. So that consistency is key. It's one of the strengths that I developed. Then another thing is that I learned how to persevere. Wow. Because in this place, like, let me take, for example, my school, with a long stay and every other thing, at a point, it gets tiring and you're like, is it even worth it? But you now remember what you're looking for. So you just keep on, you just persevere, you just keep on going. So those are the strengths that I have developed throughout this journey.
Wow, that's amazing. Nice one. Noel?
Yeah. Mine is just maturity, to be honest. Like, it doesn't have a lot to do to deal with academics per se, but more to do with my interaction with fellow human beings, right?
Yeah.
So, like Jesse rightly said earlier on in the interview, you come across a whole host of personalities, different types of people whom, you know, you will eventually go on to share close bonds with. Some of them with personalities that might not necessarily be compatible with yours, but eventually have to learn to tolerate, or you have to learn to adapt. And so what I have really, you know, learned the best methods is really just how to handle situations with, you know, myriad type of people with their different personalities.
Wow, that's nice. You want to say something
else? Yes, in line with what she said, Chile said, like, I think medicine has taught me to be very patient. Like, you just have to just calm down.
Okay.
Yes, you have to just calm down. Flow along with the tide. Like, sometimes you want this, you want that, you want, like, just like to just chillax, calm down. Calm down when your time comes. So that's just the experience.
Wow, that's amazing. That's good to know. So the next question I have here is, what bad habits did you pick up while in medical school? Because I know it's not all good all the way, no matter the department you find yourself, especially as you're changing from what you used to experience before, like from secondary school, you're now in university. You might have, one way or the other, picked up some bad habits. Someone like me, coming to medical school, although it was not my first year leaving school because I had to do pre-degree for a year, but I noticed that one bad habit, although some people might not call it a bad habit, but it's a bad habit because it's no good for our brain. I always skip breakfast. In fact, breakfast to me is, in fact, it somehow doesn't exist on many days. It's because of 8 o'clock lectures, when I just, and besides, I'm a late sleeper. So when it's morning, I always like to sleep to the 11th second, 11th minute, 11th hour of my possible sleep time. So you see me rushing to prepare for school, and then once I look at the time, I'm going to be late for 8 o'clock lecture or for a class by 8 o'clock, or to go to clinic or something. I just skip breakfast. So it now became a routine that I don't even put breakfast in my routine of things to do. And when I now finally get my first meal of the day, it's already 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock. But then, so far, we know it's not the best for our health. Do you think you yourself have developed any bad habits along the line?
Okay. Mine has really just been... It has heightened one that I used to have, or that I've always had. Procrastination.
Wow.
And that's very ironic, because people will be like, medical students, they are the ones that are supposed to even be up and doing, you understand? No time for lazy bones and all that stuff. But that's not the case with me. Somehow, I discovered that I have the ability to really crunch in a lot of work in very little time.
Okay.
Funny enough. And even though it's usually more stressful and like more tasking, but I eventually do get it done, you understand? So, usually, I'm always then like, oh, if you can do this, you know, some other time. Yes, it's not going to probably give you the best possible results whatsoever, but who even cares about the best possible results? Eh? Anyway, just pass your exam and go your way. And so, yeah, it's something that I have now almost come to terms with. The fact that it seems as if I'm a chronic procrastinator. Yeah, I think that's just the bad habits that medical school has imbued me with.
Okay, that's interesting.
Okay, the bad habit is actually taking less care of myself.
Wow.
Yes, because at a point, it looks like there are times that you feel you could create the 25th hour. So, taking good care, at a point you see medical students having unkempt hair.
Wow.
Yes. And stuff like that. It was really, sometimes, especially when the examination comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people still manage to look very good during even the heat of everything. But I don't know how they manage their time. It was that bad for me. Like, anytime I used to maybe go to the barber shop, I know that sometimes you go there and wait. And I'll say, let me use it and read some extra things. As if what I'm reading at that point will help me to pass the exam. But that was the feeling.
Wow, that's amazing. Nice work. But it's true, many medical students and not taking care of themselves is there. It's very, very evident here. Want to say something?
Yes. Medical school has impaired, like it has constricted my relationship with people.
Wow, that's
like amazing. Yes. Sometimes the time I give to my family, my father, my mother, you know, hearing from them, like, that kind of feeling that I think that it might even be worse when you become doctors. You don't have time for people again, your friends. So it now makes you look as if you are in your world of your own. Like, yes, you try, but then it seems like you're not keeping up with how you used to before. That's one bad habit, because of maybe you have a goal, you have this, you have that, you have many hard work, you have many works to cover up and everything.
Well, nice one, blessing. Okay, I'll be moving back to the next question we have here. The question is, what hard truths did you learn in medical school? For me, the hard truth I learned is that there is no shortcut in life. I've always been hearing it, but I came to meet it face to face here in University of Teaching Hospital. Because initially, I just tried to scale through physics and mathematics in my secondary school, and with the hope that I'm going to study medicine. After all, what am I doing with mathematics? What am I doing with physics? So I just crammed as much as I could and put in my energy and effort just to make sure I pass.
So sorry for that short break. We had to give way for the rain a little bit. So I was talking about the hard truth I learned, that I had to run away from working so hard to learn in depth of physics and mathematics. I just walked through it and scaled through it then, with the hope that coming to medical school, I wouldn't be needing those. But lo and behold, when we came in year one, it was further mathematics that was
normal mathematics there. And then I said, okay, we're going to leave it in one. Then we'll now face our medicine. Along the line, biochemistry. Biochemistry was almost like physics because of the pathways, the calculations, and many things needed to cram, like laws. So it was, I just also tried to get where I could, where my hand could go and all that. So I left it. Now, I've come again to chemical pathology, and I'm missing what needs my biochemistry knowledge, my physics knowledge, my chemistry knowledge back then. And then I just knew, then it dawned on me that in life, there's really no shortcut. So it's, although it's not shaking so much, and my foundation in those things are not much, I'm not that shaky, but I feel I should have put down my head to learn them better than I actually did. So I don't know, did you learn, and do you have any hard truths that you learned in medical school? We here get any hard truths in medical school? Okay, go ahead, Noah.
Well, the thing is, medical school brings out in some people the best of them, right? In some others, it just brings out the worst. There are some persons who have naturally benevolent spirits and personalities, and you know, it's in times of trials and tribulations that you see them at their best. They come to the aid of others, right? Whereas for some others who are ultra competitive and who will stop at nothing to claim whatever price it is that they have for themselves, it is at those times that you then see them bring out all those nasty features, the backstabbing, backbiting, and all those other. So, well, yes, in medical school, I think above all else, the hardest truth that has hit me has just been the fact that, some people are really just not going to have your back, even if you assume that they do, even if you think that they are friends, and that kind of thing. So, in all, it's really one man for himself or one man for herself at the end of the day. That's all what it boils down to, right? So you really just have to look after yourself, and then your friends, your loved ones, people whom you are, you know, in good terms with, and then just leave the rest for God, because you know, if you carry the whole cross.
At all. Jeff?
Okay, the hard truths I learned from medicine is, it's not about he who readeth.
Wow.
But he who the Lord showeth mercy.
Exactly.
Because I've seen people that are very intelligent fail exam. In fact, normally when they pass the result, the people that are very sure that they have passed are the people to rush to see the result first. So I just a friend of mine who very, very intelligent, and believe in fact, he has been a first class. They don't give first class in medicine, but he has been a first class student in medicine. So that was the final. He believed he had passed. So he was among the courageous people that were there waiting for the result. So when the result came out, you go in and you check. So he came out and everyone was congratulating him. Because you cannot question the fact that he was going to fail. He wants to pass, has never failed before, but he did fail because of his clinicals, silly mistakes or one thing or the other, but the main thing is he did fail. And people that perceived less intelligent, people that you're looking at as less intelligent, passed, and the guy stood there shocked. Wow. And was receiving all the congratulations.
Wow. Of course, it's not a thing that at all. It's not a thing that read that.
Sorry,
it can be terrible. Okay, have you ever felt like changing departments, and why or why not? For me, I've always loved it in medicine. I've never thought of changing. Even I had to write JAMB 3 times before I got medicine, though. It's not as if I was not passing, but because I was not giving medicine and surgery. So for me, I'm already here now. I've not even thought of changing to another week, because this is what I've always wanted to be from the very beginning. Since I started knowing that I can be something, I wanted to be a medical doctor. So I've never thought of changing any time to another department.
Okay, I've thought of changing, though. I've really thought of that. What influenced my thought was, first of all, the long stay. At some point, I was like, maybe if I was doing another course now, by now, I would have been done, and maybe I'm working, I would have been working by now, but I'm still here. Should I just freestyle this thing and just go away? Then another thing that would have made me to want to change was the workload and all those shocking moments when you hear that you just need 50 and the 50 is hard to get. So at those points, I didn't just know if I should I just leave this thing, because it was getting harder and harder.
What would you have loved to change to? As if you wanted to.
I just wanted to leave. I just wanted to leave. Do you understand? But I thank God I'm still here. But thinking about it now, no, I just have to finish what I started. I don't want.
Of course, that's good.
Okay. I haven't ever really thought of changing. And that's just mostly because the course is challenging enough to keep me fascinated. Do you understand? Like, it's challenging, and you know, you always like, if you are the kind that enjoys challenges and the feeling that comes with surmounting them, you know that, yes, you are always going to be interested in surmounting that next challenge and that next challenge.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's how it is.
Amazing.
Okay, for me, I will not put it exactly as leaving. But there are times I thought, guy, like, are you sure this place is meant for you? Like, especially when I had finished from the year one where you do physics, chemistry, and the others, biology, and entered into through the preclinicals, and I was seeing things. Like, at a point, I was like, are you really sure? I had written my first test, failed. Second test, failed. Thought everything. I could not even understand the brachial plexus. And I was wondering how some people were understanding it and if they had special brains. But at that point, I was like, if I continue like this, in fact, I was thinking. Yes.
Okay, listen. Have you ever felt like changing?
Sorry, like, do you mean changing to another department? Or just writing jam? Which one, like?
Changing to another department. I know that would be a medical student.
Not really, but I knew that there was a point in my life I wanted to just write jam again and start my life afresh. Like, all the mistakes I've made in this life, let me just. So my parents have to kind of like come into the matter and time, like, they have to tell me, just calm down, come, like, no, we're not the only one in this. Persevere, do this, do that, this and that. Nobody, nothing good in this life comes easy. Yes, seriously. I remember, I can relate to what Jesse said. I remember when I was in year one, okay, I just got admission. So that euphoria, oh my God, I'm a medical student, I'm doing medicine and surgery. And then I entered ETF, like, I heard that, okay, you have to go to a tutorial for you to know what they are doing. So the mistake I made was to go and bypass questions first and then started reading it. So when I was reading it, I was crying already, like, Jesus, I cannot do this math now. I had to kind of like call my parents, mommy, not told me to calm down. I had to even talk with the tutorial coaches, and they kind of like told me, just calm down, that this is how it's done. I think it took me a lot of time before I actually kind of like calm down, yes, and then how to now start, let me just follow it as they said. So yes, I think I've had that kind of feeling.
Oh, nice. That's good to know. I'm very, very happy. I'm really enlightened by this. Okay, the next question I have here is, what keeps you going, even in the midst of the challenges that come with medical school? Personally, for me, what keeps me going is the fact that I've struggled so hard to get here, and I've gone through pain, sweat, and blood to actually be this medical student first, before medical doctor, to be the medical student I've always dreamed of. So, but most times, sometimes the motivation just finishes. Like, my own personal motivation just finishes, and I just feel like, let me just lie in bed and sleep all day. I'm not going to school. I don't want to do it again. But then, finally, I just get up and get dressed and show up. It's just because I always remember my mom. when my motivation finishes, my mom is my next motivation. Because she was praying with me, she was always encouraging me. Even when I was having some challenges in my physics and second semester exam, she was always praying with me, calling me, how is it going? Is anybody teaching you? Are you learning? And all that. So because of her, and because of how she's always encouraging me, because she's a nurse, I feel she understands what it means to be a doctor. The fact that I want to make her proud and all her efforts will not be in vain was my highest driving force after my own personal motivation is over. So I don't know if you have something similar. What keeps you going in medical school?
Mine is just really my papa. the man isn't an overly expressive kind of person. He likes to display his own affection with action. You understand? He's never the kind that will sit you down and tell you I love you or does any African father very little. But like aside from the general, the man just never really expresses his emotions. You understand? However, the very first day that I saw him close to ecstasy was the day I found out I had gotten admission. I called him on the phone and told him that CEO, I've been admitted. The man was shouting right there on the phone. He was shouting, I was like, am I proud to shout this thing? So when I think about how ecstatic and elated he was when I told him that I got admission, I can only imagine how he would feel on the day of my induction when he finally hear me addressed as
celebrate
doctor.
Grace,
so yes, yes, I want to give him that gift. You understand?
Wow, that's amazing. That's okay, Chile.
Okay, personally, I will not lie. There have really been times when my motivation was low. So what kept me going, first of all, I have to mention, is the God factor. Then I remembered my family too, because I've really been a big source of support and strength to me. Then another thing is, I look at the big picture. Like, before I came here, the big picture, I'm always, whenever I want to quit, I'm just like, no, I just want to get there. I want to get there. That big picture, the picture that I already painted for myself about this whole thing, how my life is going to turn out when I'm done with this medicine and all that, it just keeps me going. And the fact that I know that I have God by my side and my family.
Wow, that's nice. Yes, Jesse.
Okay, what keeps me going? Personally, I've started the race and I must finish it.
Yeah.
Because I'm already neck deep. But the second thing is my parents. Like, I'm just going to talk about a little story. The fact that my parents actually went to an occasion and saw a classmate of mine who is mature, like not among our age bracket. So the lady doesn't really rapport with us. And my parents were asking her, do you know Jesse? And she was like, I've not heard that name before. And my parents, after everything they tried to describe, she doesn't know Jesse. In fact, they had to drive her from wherever she was to our house to show her my portrait, my picture. And she said, yes, I know him. At that point, I just saw the palpable, when I heard the story, the palpable fear that was in their mind. If for any reason I leave or I was not even in medical school, I was deceiving them. So the main thing is like I actually doing it for myself. I'm doing it for my parents.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm so happy to hear that. Okay, now this one is another one that comes with a special feeling for me. Although in one way or the other, we have all chipped it in. Is how did you feel when you got to know that you had gotten admission into medicine and surgery? For me, that day was, it was in November when I saw that, November 2014, when I saw that admission list. That day was one of a kind. I kept reliving that day for a very, very long time because of the kind of joy. First of all, I was not the one that saw it first. It was my twin brother that saw it. So he told me, Sissy, I've gotten admission on medicine and surgery. I said, it's a lie. When I came to see it, Maybe I saw it, I scrolled, because that was Nokia Asha 201 phone then. When I scrolled, and I saw my name, and I saw admitted, met in a surgery, I just started running. I just ran. I kept running. Where I was running to, I did not know. And my slippers were off my legs. And it was in the evening. I started running back to my shop again, where we were looking at the results. By the time I was back, I started hyperventilating. I could not breathe. And they now had to carry me. They lifted me into the shop to calm me down, give me water to drink, and calm down. What's the problem? So half breath, I was saying, I've gotten admission. I'm surgery. And my father came down from the Babi Saduna. What happened? I'm in Molu, CC. Can you hear me? And then I was going to say, oh, my God, admission. She has gotten admission and she cannot breathe again. So hold that. This one. So after a short time, I was resuscitated. And then the whole drug, I literally did not sleep that night. I had to use my phone, call my classmates, my classmates in secondary school were already in university. Then I called my cousins, a few of my cousins that had their phone number, just to tell them the whole thing. So I just had to go through that admission page again and again. I kept on looking at it and I was saying, oh, finally, I've gotten it. So for me, it was a day to remember and reckon, and whenever I remember it, I'm so happy and grateful to God, because it's a big deal. In fact, it's actually a big deal for me. So I don't know if somebody has an experience to share with us.
I had spent like 3 years at home.
Wow.
Without getting admission. So I had given up on the medicine. In fact, when I had scored out of 400, I scored 320.
Wow.
In the aptitude test, and I was going to check for my admission list. And when I checked it there, confidently, I did not see my name. So I was, what's happening in this place? So when they said they were doing supplementary list, I submitted supplementary list for biochemistry because medicine was not in the list.
Okay.
So it's better I just enter and do another anyone.
Yeah.
Now they were forcing me to go and check my, because then Android phones were not 18. But yeah, so they were forcing me to go and check my admission in the cyber cafe. So I refused. I said, you see, today I'm happy. I've been facing disappointment for 3 years. And you see, today I'm not checking that. My mom kept scolding me. So I told her, okay, give me your phone. These are Symbian phones. You could browse. And I checked the thing reluctantly. And Symbian phones, it's going to, you have to zoom in.
Mm.
So first of all, when you have put, you have given your admission. So at the point, you have to zoom in to check the course. Mm. I was shouting, mommy, it looks like I've given my admission. She was asking, check the course. Oh. Immediately I looked at it, it was medicine. I fell backwards and my brother caught me mid-air. And I was on the ground.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really amazing.
The day I found out I had gotten admission, I actually took my younger brother to write his change of school exam. He used to stay in the West, somewhere in Lagos, and he wanted to continue his senior secondary school education here. So I took him to take his entrance examination at Gomer College. And I was there when I received a call from an acquaintance, friend of mine. She called me and said that I've gotten admission. I said, which kind early morning wine would be this? Because just the early morning, they disturb person. Which kind thing would be this? She said she was serious, that she was coming. She used to live at, she lives at Oji. So she came and met me and hugged me and told me I had gotten admission. I said, I won't believe this thing until I see my two eyes. By then, my heart was already jumping all over the place. Imsu Junction is not far from Government College. I was sitting at Keke right then. Got to Imsu Junction, strolled down to where they used to sell newspapers back then. Got to the Imsu Star newspaper. Looked at it, number 10.
Wow.
I closed newspaper first of all.
Enter
our place. Go see. I sat down for a little while. She was jumping up and down, she was all over me. I had to first process and understand exactly what I was seeing. Because I honestly did not, it wasn't like I did not have faith. But you know when the moment comes upon you and you realize that this is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a few minutes for the realization to sink in that guy, na doctor where you go go be. Oh. So like, ah, it was a very happy day. Oh. It was a very, very, very happy day.
That's nice.
What I have to say about that day is joy, nothing but joy.
Wow.
Because that day, actually, after I took JAMB, what's that called? Post-UMB, I started working somewhere while I was waiting for the admission stuff. Like, you know, I was so anxious because every day when I'm praying, like, I'm just waiting, when will these people release the list and all that? I can remember the date. That day it was on the 15th of October in 2015.
Wow.
When a family friend just called me randomly, like, you don't get admission, no. I was like, ah, what cause? The person told me, I couldn't still believe it. The person had to snap the newspaper where the names were written and all that and sent to me, man. And like, when I saw it, I cannot even quantify the joy that was in me at that point. Yeah. My only reaction was to just start praising God, calling people, calling my parents. I was like, God, I don't get admission. And it was medicine.
Wow.
So it's just joy. So in a nutshell.
Oh, that's amazing. Nice one.
I can't even narrate my own because it's very...
You're already in tears of joy.
It's been very... I don't even get to even start. So that's from the jump. So it's a very long story. Yeah, it's a very long one. So I don't know. I think I'll just start from somewhere. I don't know. Okay, but to start with, all my scores were very low. Look, it was a kind of depressing moment for me, actually. Like, I remember when I was working, actually, so... That was, mommy's like, she always says that she'll give us 1 year when we finish secondary school, stay 1 year to prepare fully for the JAMB and everything. So I wrote the JAMB, then I had like, is this 191? So like, so how do you want to do your medicine? You want to do like, where will you start from? How do you want to do your medicine? And then, like, I was getting depressed. And then I usually read novels and be like, this is how you failed your JAMB. Yes, see, I know what they're doing. You failed your JAMB, you're reading novels. Don't go. And many of my classmates are like, what did she get? So there was this pressure, and then I felt very bad. Okay, fast forward to post-UME. Put in my best. I tried, I read and everything. And then after the exams, I chose CBT because I did not want the hassles of paper and I was like, I don't want to kind of jump and running around. I don't want that kind of thing. Let me just go for CBT. So I'll just be on my own. I don't want those kind of things. So I chose CBT. And then I wrote it after writing the exam. So they're like, they will process your results immediately. I said, ah, better. So let me know what I got. And then I saw the results. I was just like, what is this?
Heartbreaking.
You know, I actually had a 158. Yes. So I was not like, so everything's like 170. I did not even meet the 180 for any course. So how do you want to do medicine? Now, at this point, I was just like, let me just get admission into school. I don't want to stay at home. Even if it's any course, wherever any course it is. That's where I met, I had Ayo. We wrote CBT together, like Ayo in our class. We wrote CBT together. I think I saw him that he was one of, you know, he was very, very lanky and everything. So I think we saw him there. So I went home with my aunt, and then I cried. I went back to Lagos. I also said, let me just prepare better for next year and write, do well. And I was planning on quitting my job and everything. So then there's this group on Facebook. Then I'm supposed to meet me people, like all these things, not those young people that would just gather and be saying some funny things on Facebook, like a Facebook group. So I'll just follow them up to know when they release results. Let me just see if I have any chance of getting any calls. So I went. Then one guy, just, I remember the guy. Unfortunately, this guy got admission in medicine, but he couldn't meet up with the requirements, so he left. Wow. So the guy was like, ah, I got medicine and surgery. I was still feeling very envious. Like, guy, I see people that got medicine. Yeah, let me just, later in the evening, I told him, just give me money to go and check in Cyber Cafe. My results. I my sister, we went there to just see if I'll get any. So I now, I don't know, I checked the system, and then what I just saw was, like, admission, they admitted medicine and surgery. And I said, wait, sorry. Like, I now looked at it, like, let me see my score. So I don't know, they don't know what they are doing. They don't, like, got 171. What I saw, what I got was, like, I saw that in the post-UME, I had 356.
Wow.
Like, is it a mistake? What is this? How? Like, I was still, I was very perplexed. But the meantime, I was very happy. So we ran all the way. Me and my sister, was just chasing me. I was running. My sister was chasing me.
Is he running from me?
Is he running? We ran. Just like running from him. Like, he's running from here to car wash. I don't know how. Narrate the running. I did not. I had enough energy for the running.
Wow.
My slippers. My slippers failed. My sister picked it. We are still running. I reached to mommy. Just lie down on the ground. Oh. Hey, all kind of things.
Oh my God.
It's also surprising. So when I came for my clearance, that I got to know that the database for the CBT exam was actually you actually told me that they actually went to protest. After writing the exam, that they should do a remarking of the CBT exam, and they did it. So the result I first had was a very wrong one, and it kept me for those months. I was going down. I was going down. I want to just thank God.
This is a testimony. Thank God. Thank God. Really, a testimony. That have been gone now. Well, that's good to know. So I wanted to skip a few questions, but I'm going to ask this one. I say, now that all of us are all in clinical aspects, did you enjoy more of the class parts, or you enjoyed more of the clinical parts? For me, I would say I enjoyed more of the clinical part, because that was the medicine I had in my head. That was the medicine that I was expecting, and I feel I enjoyed more seeing practically what we are being taught than when I'm in class, when everything is all theory. So do you have any opinion?
Okay, for me, nothing beats actually practicing, reading your book and going to the clinic to practice. I got tired of the reading, and just cramming things. It was best we go to the clinic and see patients ourselves.
I have an opposite view, actually. I honestly enjoy the class and, reading. That might be as a result of, some of the external circumstances that we face here that haven't made our clinical stay optimized. And there have been, a lot of glitches here and there. And so that has not made the clinical this thing as enjoyable as I would have hoped. It's not that bad. It's not horrible, but it's also not as nice as I would have researched it. I honestly still enjoy sitting down and just looking. They have a term for those type of people, right? They call them textbook doctors. Well, let's see, Sha. Let's see.
Right, Chile.
Okay, for me, I enjoy the clinical aspect more. Like, there's this joy you get after reading, going through your books, reading those textbooks, and you now come to the clinic, you see a patient that is presenting with all those things that you've read about.
Of course.
Like, you can now see it, like, you visualize everything. So, for me, I say the clinical aspects.
Did you enjoy the clinical aspect, or you have both?
Okay. Yes, it's adventurous now. It's very, very... That's the medicine we all dreamed about.
Okay.
It's not this textbook. Nobody likes reading.
Okay,
nobody likes school. That was very wonderful. Like, no, for real, it's good to see someone that. Look, like, medicine is very boring. The reading part is boring. Unless it was like novel, it would have been interesting. Yes.
But you cannot actually.
But then I think it's those things that we see that makes medicine interesting. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. So now to a bomb question. I call it a bomb question, but it's not really a bomb question. But I'd like to enlighten more people or get a first-hand knowledge out across to people that are going to listen to this. People feel that doctors have the most terrible handwritings. I don't know whether in the whole world or in Nigeria, but people just have that feeling that doctors are in Adika, handwriting doctor. That they feel that doctors scribble a lot. Do you think this is true? I think I'll let you answer last. Or you think, I'll answer last. Or you think, there should be a different point of view to that.
No, I think it's very, very true, and I think there's a reason for it. Medical school, there is a lot of writing. Like, sometimes the lecturers are just talking, and you're expected to be writing very fast. So at a point, you just imagine that you want to write paracetamol, you just write para and make some zigzag. And the nurse is expected to know that this is paracetamol.
Interesting. Okay.
I have a different view. If you look at it statistically, right? Most people in the world have poor handwritings. It's the truth. Most people have poor handwritings that are borderline legible. A lot of it's the truth. Most of them have writings that are just terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we assume that medicine is a typical course where a typical demography is represented, right? So it means that 70% of people in medicine, as in every other course, have poor handwritings, right?
Okay.
That also therefore translates into the fact that most handwritings that you are going to see clinically are going to be poor. Do you understand? So I think it's just a reflection of the poor handwriting that you know, the trend of everybody having poor handwritings or poor handwritings being predominant and not necessarily doctors just, you know, having terrible handwriting.
Okay.
I do not agree with that. I do not agree with doctors having poor handwriting, because me personally, I've come across people in this medical school, in my class, that they write so well. So, but I don't know if this thing has to do with practice. Maybe I'm yet to find out what actually makes them write all those prescriptions and all those things. What makes them write that way? But generally, they have a good handwriting for the people I've seen. So.
All right, thank you. I feel that, like Shile said, I've seen many doctors that have very neat handwriting, and even when they're prescribing their drugs, they also write neatly, something that is legible. You yourself, you can see that. So I think many people should remove that idea from their mind that doctors have terrible handwriting. Although there are many that do that, but there will be a reason. Because in a setting in Nigeria, you have to be fast. Many people are already waiting to be attended to. And then you yourself, you need to also do fast so you can also take care of yourself too as a doctor. So it's related, but then there are many doctors out there who have very, very amazing and outstanding handwriting. So to my last question, thank you so much for getting up to this point. I want to ask now, what advice do you have for people who have the intention of coming to medical school, especially coming to medical school in Nigeria? What advice do you have for them?
Okay, medicine is not a course of fantasy, right? A lot of people hype up the course and make it seem like it's this absolutely wonderful course where once you go in, you're coming out made, you're coming out to eventually be. It is pretty tough, right?
Wow.
So if you are completely sure that that is where your path lies, then by all means. However, if you do not have, if you feel that you have reservations against it, or if you feel you are being pushed into it against your will as a result of whatever factors, then you need to take a rain check and properly analyze, you know, your choices.
Okay, I wouldn't want to toe the line of what happens when you become a doctor. I want to talk about people that actually want to get admission to medicine. Just know this, it's not about intelligence, it's about reading your books and studying hard.
Wow.
It's like, you might think, because some people in their secondary school, they read few things and they can come and smash, but here it is really bulky. It's not hard, but bulky. This is what you're going to put in the back of your mind. Everything is understandable, everything is relatable. But it's just too plenty.
So, you have any advice for the medical students, people that want to come in as medical students?
Yes. I want to change this single story that if you want to make money in life, you come to medicine. Medicine is not a place for making money. I'm more sure. If you want to just dedicate your life, like if you want to be a pastor, something like that's what medicine is like. Dedicate your life to some people. If you want to make money, go and do business.
Exactly.
You will get enough money that will last generations of time. The cryptocurrency. There are many ways of making money. Not medicine, Biko.
Especially in Nigeria.
Nigeria is just and that place that doctors fight to even earn a living. Why doing medicine? So please, if you have any other passion in life, you can make it without being a doctor. You can become fulfilled without being a medical doctor. But just in case you have passion for medicine, go for it. But if it's to make money, forget it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Blessing. Thank you very much. Everybody that said something about this. What I'd like to add to what you have said is all true. And then I should just let you know that some people are not in medical school for one single father, they are afraid. So if that is you, I'll say give it a shot first. It's better that you tried and you failed and then than to live with the regret that you could have made it. Because when you come to medical school, you see the best of the best there. That does not mean that you are dull or you cannot make it or you are not good enough. But then, if you sometimes want to give a trial, you want to come for the passion because you love medicine, by all means, do. By all good means, anyway, do that. And then medicine is not also for everybody. You might be fascinated about the body part, about how the body works. Then you might say maybe you don't want to come in contact with blood. There are other parts of medical field. You can be a radiologist. You can go into the lab aspect. You must not be in medicine as such. You can even study anatomy or biochemistry, other parts of medicine that we also study, and be a pro in it and be an excellent person in it and even be a lecturer in it. You must not be someone that's going to work in the hospital in the end, because medicine is not only clinical practice, but then it's also an important part. There are some people that want to become doctors, but they don't want to be consulting in the offices. They want to be working in world health organizations, in all these health bodies, Doctors Without Borders. They want to be working there. The clinical practice is not for them. It's not what their passion is. By all means, still come in. Get the basics. Get all those. Then, for the short time you're going to practice, and then go wherever you want to go. Be whatever you want to be, and keep being you. Thank you so much. We have come to the end of this interview. I'm so excited. I'm so happy that this can finally come to play. And I hope a lot of people are going to listen to it, are going to learn from it, and get a first-hand knowledge from all of us here. It's been a nice time. Blessing, Chile, Jesse, and Noel. And I've been your host, Tochi Ibe. Thank you so much for listening. Have a lovely day. Mwah!